Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's an open forum today. What do you want to talk about? The last time we ended up talking about legalizing marijuana, I think, for almost the entire hour. What do you want to talk about today? 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can tweet us at @WOSU All Sides. It's always very convenient and nice if you want to just drop your question or comment into our All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. You can like it while you're at it. It's an open forum today. I'm kind of intrigued by the new Peach District in Columbus. I think that's really neat. Mark Ferenchuk of the Columbus Dispatch wrote about that. And the Blue Jackets beat the Avalanche. Whoopee dingo. 2-1. But there are important things to talk about. 614-292-8513 if you want to talk about the Voting Rights Act and its future with the current United States Supreme Court. That would be fine. Same-sex marriage is still banned in Ohio, but the U.S. Supreme Court is also considering the issue as well at the national level. Any thoughts, any feelings about that? It looks like the Obama administration is on board with its own recommendations regarding same-sex marriage. There's still no pope, tragically. I shouldn't say tragically, there's still no pope. There's still no pope. It's happened before. It'll happen again. They're trying to decide right now. Tragically, however, bombs still are going off in Pakistan. I was interested in the fact that the Swiss, and this is the Swiss, all the Swiss, not just in a legislative sense, voted to limit executive pay. So what do you think about that? There is a lot going on right now. Tell me what you want to talk about, and we'll kind of drive the conversation in that direction. If it's in the news, you know, we like to talk about what's in the news, not just a personal pet peeve. What's in the news? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org and tell us what you think. If you want to talk about the Blue Jackets, it's a good time to because they won. So we could try that. If you want to talk about the Peach District, I think that's kind of an interesting place. It's, I'm not sure it's in a... I would put it right around the Victorian Village area, but it's kind of High Street to the river from King to Fifth. So pretty small, intimate, cute, like it. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. When you do call, give our screener a little bit of time. Make sure you tell them very succinctly what it is you want to talk about so we can get you on the horn ASAP. Do you want to talk about a cure for HIV? They've newborns have been cured of it now, or at least a newborn has been cured of it, and one other person that we know of has been cured of HIV. What do you think about that? You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Susan in Upper Arlington, you want to talk about the Kasich tax proposal. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Hi, Ann. I think that it's kind of unfairly stacked against the middle class in this case because everybody has to die. And we've had two funerals in our family, and they're not inexpensive. I would say that even with a cremation, you start at $3,000 or $4,000 and up from there.
You're talking about the tax, the sales tax
and
that would
tax that, and then they're going to tax haircuts, which I pay $85 to get my hair cut and colored now. So now I have to put tax on top of that. And I've been going to the same stylist, by the way, who's fabulous, for you know like 30 years.
Yeah, but is it going to cut into her tip?
Well, no, not in my case, but I have to pay a sales tax on top of that, and then I'm a travel agent, and we really do a lot of work with people, and we really know our stuff, but the internet is an issue, and, you know, are they going to have to pay taxes if they book the same trip on the internet from Ohio? In other words,
that's a good question. That's a really good question.
Well, I'm telling you, man, it's going to put some travel agencies out of business. Because, fortunately, I'm in a situation that I co-owned a small travel agency with my identical twin sister, and now I am opening a division for a large company, a corporate company, and it's one of the reasons I made the decision that the future of the small agencies we have to tell people and let people know that we are experts.
Okay. Hang on, Susan. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It's an open forum this hour, 614-292-8513. Susan from Upper Arlington just brought up the governor's tax proposal. In very basic terms, it cuts the income tax in Ohio, and it also decreases by a half a percentage point, I believe, the statewide income tax. But it expands the things that can be fall under the sales tax. I'm sorry, fall under the sales tax, called a consumption tax. Everything from funerals to haircuts to travel plans to laundromats to shoe shines. I think there's about 82 or 92 things on the list of things that would be now taxed under this proposal. It's just a proposal. It's moving through the legislature right now. If you have some thoughts about the tax plan, I'm willing to talk about that. It's interesting. And we'll be having a show, actually, about it later on this week, I believe on Wednesday, if you want to make sure you check out that show. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Susan from Upper Arlington, thanks a lot for bringing up that topic. We appreciate it. Jane in Columbus, you want to talk about taxes? Hi, Jane. Okay. Jane's not there. Josh in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I would like to figure out why it is that no one is talking about Senator Mitch McConnell and Amgen.
I don't know why. What is about it that they're not talking about?
Amgen was fined $700 plus million for an illegal drug problem and the distribution of drugs being unapproved. And then Senator Mitch McConnell and Senator Orrin Hatch, during the fiscal cliff deal, approved $500 million to Amgen to help pay their fine. That $500 million will pay my Social Security benefits for over 46,000 years. And he's talking about wanting to cut entitlements, but yet he's going to approve $500 million to pay off some company's debt.
I don't know a lot about that, Josh, but I'm going to get more information about it. If somebody else out there has some concerns about Senator Mitch McConnell and his relationship with Amgen and the it's an amendment or is it just already in the legislature?
It's already been done. It was part of the fiscal, part of the fiscal cliff deal that passed back in January.
Oh, I see. Okay. The one that put it off till now, which they've not extended it. Okay. All right.
So I just think they should get back our $500 million before they start talking about making other cuts.
Okay. All right. I want to hear more about that. Thanks, Josh, for bringing it up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Take care. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. You can tweet us at WOSU All Sides. We are not picky. Go ahead. Give us a call. We're working our way through these calls right now. And I don't know if I can take Mike in Columbus or not. Mike in Columbus, are you there? Hi, Mike.
Hello?
Hi, Mike. Are you on the air?
Yeah.
Hi. Welcome.
I'd like to talk about the election of the Pope. A lot of people seem to be having outlandish speculation. I don't think a lot's going to really change because no matter who they elect, he's still working from within a bureaucracy. And it's, you know, part of the system of how it is.
How are you Catholic by any chance? If you don't,
yeah.
So how else would you do it?
Well, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that there's the Roman Cura, which is kind of be like a like the president has his cabinet. So there's already all these other institutions in place that he works within. So whoever does get elected, most of these bishops were appointed by John Paul II or by Ratzinger, by mm-hmm. Benedict.
By himself,
so
yeah.
It'll reflect their views. And, you know, like it or hate it, you know, one way or the other, that's just how it is.
Do you ever really see any drastic change?
Me personally, I don't think there will be, but who knows?
Okay. Is your name Mike?
Yes.
Okay, you did get it. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Mike, for your call, and we'll see what else, what other folks say. They are gathering at the Vatican as we speak. Mm-hmm. They're having conferences about it, interesting discussions about it, but in the end, it'll only be the cardinals who are 80 years or younger, which is kind of interesting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Take care, Mike.
You too.
Bye-bye. 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can go to the Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Mike in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome.
Okay, another Mike has the
yes,
mic.
I was
confusing.
No, I'm just easily confused, but
okay.
Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi. I want to put in a plug for WOSU, both radio and TV.
Oh, thanks.
I was talking with some friends a while back about why I support OSU, and it occurs to me, I didn't really say as much as I might have, as clearly as I would have. Here's my chance. I'm a teacher, a retired teacher, and obviously, as a teacher, I believe in education, and I, you know, you do what you can and whatever, but you've only got X number of students in your classroom at a time. With radio and TV, you can reach and do reach thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds probably, in the central Ohio area. And now with the internet and everything, all over the world, it is such a cost-effective way of educating people about every which sort of thing and entertaining us. I recently cut the cable TV bill. I got tired of them raising it, and they promised they wouldn't, but of course they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I cut the cable. I bought my own DVR, and contrary to popular belief, you can have a DVR and program it, at least certain kinds, without having a cable TV. They told me I couldn't, the cable people, but I could. And I'm recording programs to watch when it's convenient for me. And I've already got a backlog of stuff. I don't think I'll live long enough to watch all the good shows. I don't need cable TV. And what I'm saving on that cable will pay for this DVR in a very few months. So so I'm saving money. It's actually an investment. And it's just so entertaining. And it's good to think that people all over are learning all kinds of stuff. And so I'm still supporting education if I support OSU.
And WOSU Radio, it's funny that radio still's out there live and kicking, huh?
It is. And I like radio because it, even more than TV, I have some time for TV, not much, but the DVR helps with
mm-hmm.
that. But I like radio because it fits with my active style. I can listen to it when I'm walking, when I'm working, when I'm driving the car, whatever. It's
mm-hmm.
there. And it's, I can do whatever I want to do and need to do and still listen.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. We have an open forum this hour. If you'd like to join the discussion, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We can talk about the governor's proposed proposed new taxable services and the cut in the income tax. When we return, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the first work week under sequester begins. We'll touch down around the country and in Washington for the impact and where this goes. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
On Point is at 1 o'clock here on 89.7 NPR News. Good morning, I'm Eric French, and thanks for listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's currently 33 degrees, it's warmed up a couple degrees, and the expected high today should reach 35 and drop to 26 overnight. Expect some snow and rain off and on all day tomorrow. Join WOSU TV tonight for a special presentation of Columbus Neighborhoods. Executive producer Brent Davis picks out his favorite scenes and provides an inside look at the six films that tell the colorful stories of Columbus's vibrant neighborhoods. That's The Best of Columbus Neighborhoods, and again, that's tonight at 8 on WOSU TV.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's an open forum this hour. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to our Facebook page and post your questions or comments there. Ben in Dublin, you're on the air. You want to talk about the governor's tax change proposal. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, I was wondering, it would seem that with all these new sales taxes, that's going to mean a lot of businesses are going to have to start collecting taxes on behalf of the state, adding to their bureaucracy.
Whereas the
state will probably have to expand that part of their taxing bureaucracy, whereas they already have an income tax bureaucracy in place. And it strikes me as ironic that the Republicans, who are so opposed to the growth of government and so forth, are though perfectly willing to grow this part of the taxing bureaucracy in order to save the rich money.
That's an interesting idea. I mean, you're right. We talked about it a couple weeks ago when this was first put forth. A lot of small businesses, their business tax comes out of their income tax. It's very simply done, but they don't pay sales tax. Say, you know, the one chair barbershop, a florist, somebody who does catering on the side, that kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Add a lot of aggravation to them. But again, that's why I really think the concern is not for the small business person. I'm someone who used to vote Republican, and honestly, it will take a long time for me to ever think of voting for a Republican again, just because they have chosen in lockstep to really say to everyone, yeah, we really are the party of the rich, and if it means wrecking the country, like with sequestration, in order to save the rich from having to pay money, that bothers me. And it also the idea, well, we're taking away what people have earned. I don't know that corporate executives are paid according to market forces. Raises the whole question of what people are paid, and does it reflect the work they do? Does it reflect even the market? What does it reflect? And I think oftentimes it reflects what those who have leverage can grab.
Mm-hmm.
And those who don't have the leverage are left to, unfortunately, have to look to government services because they're paid so poorly. Again,
okay.
We have a party that doesn't want to raise the minimum wage, saying that it will cost jobs.
Okay. Well, Ben, I want to give some other people a chance to weigh in on this, talking about just reminding our listeners that Governor Kasich wants to lower the state sales tax rate by 0.5 percentage point and lower local sales tax rates by varying amounts and expand eligible goods and services to generate about $3 billion over 3 years. The revenues from sales tax and higher taxes on oil and gas as well would, he says, fuel across the board income tax cuts. So it wouldn't be just sales tax, expansion of sales tax. It also involve a sales tax cut. 614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call like Ben from Dublin did. And thanks again, Ben, for that call. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mark in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you, Ann.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring up some legislation which U.S. Representative Marcy Kaptur She's a Democratic congresswoman from the Lake Erie area of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
She's bringing up House Resolution 129, which had been introduced in the previous session of Congress, and she's reintroducing it. And her main co-sponsor is a Republican congressman from North Carolina, Walter Jones. And so it is bipartisan. And what this act would do, it would basically bring back the Glass-Steagall Act, which was a banking separation act that had been brought up in the 1930s.
It separated pretty much the commercial from the personal.
Yeah. And basically what it did, it was basically simplified that the U.S. government would back up the full faith and credit of the commercial end of banking, which has to do with small businesses, houses, personal loans, things like that. But it would not back up or bail out the speculative end of things. And Bill Clinton, I think one of the quotes he did is he felt that was the biggest mistake he did, where he supported the repeal of the
Glass. Yes, of course. This was supported by his administration as well as Congress in general.
Yeah. So anyways, Marcy Kaptur and Walter Jones and some others, Maria Cantwell in the last session had, and John McCain had introduced that in the Senate. And the mm-hmm. idea is to clean up the banking system now. Basically, it's a credit bubble that's ready to burst. The point is, if we can clean it up before the problem is here, we can do it in a clean, orderly way and protect legitimate banking. But we don't want to keep bailing out the speculative global type things. And I think that's crucial. A lot of the top people around the world, including the recent Italian elections, that was very much on their minds. So it's not just something in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me back in the 1980s, the home state savings and loan
uh-huh.
collapsed in Ohio, which basically toppled all the dominoes. Virtually all the savings and loans went down in one fell swoop in Ohio. And this is a similar situation to that, the high-tech bubble in the late 1990s and the real estate bubble in the mid-2000s. If we would deal with it before, we could do it clean and orderly. But if not, it could be what Naomi Klein refers to.
Interesting comparison.
Disaster capitalism. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Mark, thanks for that call. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The number to call, 614-292-8513. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We have an open forum this hour. So if you'd like to join the conversation, tell us what you think. We've been kind of looking at Governor John Kasich's proposed income tax cut and sales tax cut, but an expansion of what gets taxed with that consumption tax. Tell us what you think. You can also go email us at allsides@wosu.org. John in Marysville, you're on the air. Welcome, John.
Good morning. Last week, and you had, I think, what you might consider to be one of the most consequential women of the last 25, 30 years on with you, and that's Phyllis Schlafly.
Yes.
I think she was she's absolutely been pivotal in the women's movement, and I was just wondering what
you mean as an antithesis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
When I heard she was on, I just could not believe it. I was hoping that I could even get on to talk with her.
Uh-huh.
But my question for you is, what were your general impressions of that interview with her?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to raise a question with her.
Mm-hmm.
Does she believe a woman can handle an AK-15? And I was wondering if she personally owns one, and what are her feelings about women having a weapon such as that, if she didn't support women in combat?
Mm-hmm. That would have been an interesting question. Of course, I can't answer it for her. I was really happy to get Phyllis Schlafly on the show. Because she does represent such an iconic corner of the world and its opinion about women's liberation back in the day, women's rights, the women's movement going forward, feminism, humanism, whatever you want to call it. And she is pretty much what I grew up with as the anti-women's movement spokesperson. But always, I'll tell you, what did you think, John? She kind of sticks to her guns. She doesn't change. She's not waffling on anything over the years, has she?
Well, I don't recall who was on, you know.
Well, I had a couple of people. Well, I had someone who'd written a book about women in the military. And then when Phyllis happened to be on during that segment, Amber, I'm just recalling that. I'm pretty sure it was Amber, who is a veteran of either the Iraq or the Afghanistan wars, called in to talk about women in combat. And I think she was more, you know, having that exchange with Phyllis, which I thought was very civil. And
it was civil.
And it represented two really strong points of view. And I loved it.
I loved it, too. It was civil. I think that my impression was that it was like she was speaking the language of the 1970s.
Right.
In 2013.
That's what I meant. She hasn't changed her tune really one bit.
But she goes back. She was friends with Ronald Reagan,
sure.
William F. Buckley, and so on. And I just want to tell you, I appreciated the exchange. And maybe, you know, we can bring more conservative voices on, like Jim Jordan. I want to hear exactly them explain in a civil matter, in a civil manner such as you conduct.
Yep.
Try to get these voices on.
John, just for the record, we are always trying to get voices on and always trying to get a fair representation. Live radio, however, is not always the best format for that, but it's not for our lack of trying. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So know that we are always trying to get different points of view on the show, but not all points of view want to be on live radio. So
at least
that's the way I figure it, or they're just way too busy for us. And I don't think that can be the case. So, John, but thanks for your call. I'm glad to talk about Phyllis. She was very interesting.
Great show. Thank you.
You bet. Take care. 614-292-8513. If you want to join this open forum, you can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Strangely, I don't think I've gotten any emails unless I've covered them up somehow. So you can send us an email and I will read it on the air. Dennis in Marion, you're
Hi.
On the air. Dennis, hi. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I love your program.
Thank
I listen
you.
To it as often as I can.
Thanks.
The thing that got me is the use tax. This is a kind of many-tentacled Medusa that's going to go along with the sales tax. If anybody really sits down and thinks about how complicated this is going to be, would have to throw the whole thing out. I understand that if you're outside of the state, you're having to take paying and adjusting the rates that you will then pay on your income tax by adjusting for use tax, that you're going to have to volunteer to the state at the end of your, you know, tax year. Plus, the tax commissioner was giving some examples. Well, he talked about a law firm in Cincinnati that uses services in Kentucky, and if they don't pay the sales tax and you get your bill as a client, you're responsible for it, which is a nod to the powerful and the influential. I just think this is going to be, if the Democrats are listening and the representatives in our government, local government, if they listen to this and then look at how they're going to put off compensating local communities for the sales tax that they're not going to be able to charge, eventually this thing's going to end up being entrenched like a tick. I just think it's a horrible idea, and I hope that common sense prevails.
When you're talking about the Democrats looking at this, this is largely a Republican-backed plan, but I have to say, I mean, the governor's Republican, but a lot of Republicans in the Ohio General Assembly, which is, of course, controlled by Republicans in both houses, they're questioning this as well.
Good. I'm glad.
But the Democrats don't have a lot of power.
Well, I hope the common sense and the fact this is going to take ordinary citizens and it's going to pretty much turn them into criminals. I mean, I don't know what the consequences are, but this thing could become very ugly, and people that can't afford to fight it will end up suffering.
Okay. Dennis, thanks for your call.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. Take care. Let's squeeze in. David and Bexley are on the air. Welcome, David.
Hi. I think your program's good.
Thank you.
Because it allows people to actually express opinions, and it gets these issues out that need to be spoken about. And in my opinion, in my experience, I think Ohio has been generating more and more jobs under previous Governor Strickland and current Governor Kasich. Mm-hmm. I think the generation of jobs creates income for the state. So the state shouldn't have to be reducing expenditures. We should be maintaining expenditures for services for average citizens. And also, the unemployment rate in Ohio is around, 7% now?
Yeah, but it's not necessarily getting replaced. The level of wages isn't necessarily what it was before.
Well, that's another problem. I think the income tax is a fair tax. A sales tax is an unfair, aggressive tax, and everybody should know that. And the income tax should be adjusted so that people that are benefiting from the economy are paying back for services to the state of Ohio. That's the only fair tax I think is out there. I think that should be the basis for Ohio taxation. And also, Ohio ranks 28th as far as all states go, as far as getting money back from the federal government. So we should be getting some of the money we pay into the federal government back for assisting Ohio. And I think one of the big failures in the last few years has been not using the money for that high-speed rail
The project. $750 million.
Right. And that would have generated more and more and more money. And I think you can criticize it as something that people wouldn't use, but you can say that about almost any innovative project, that people won't use it in the beginning, but they will use it. And I think it solves more than one problem. It solves transportation, but it also solves air quality problems too. So I think we need to look at an overall strategy instead of Ohio being isolated and doing whatever it pleases. I think Ohio should work with other states. And I used to work in Wisconsin, and Chicago, Wisconsin corridor up there was using the high-speed rail money. They weren't turning it down. So I think it's just another way of Ohio getting money back, and I think we need to get money back from the federal government.
All right. Well, David and Bexley, thanks a lot for your call.
Thanks.
Take care. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're going to be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
People are living under the illusion that the American dream is working for them, and it's rigged by the guys at the tippy top.
Laura Dern plays a naive whistleblower on the HBO series Enlightened. On the next Fresh Air, her co-creator and co-star Mike White tells us about the season finale. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon. This is 89.7 NPR News. And join us for All Sides with Ann Fisher tomorrow for a discussion of a world without Saturday mail and the future of the U.S. Postal Service in general. And then it's Tech Tuesday. That's All Sides with Ann Fisher tomorrow from 10 until noon. 31 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine with a high right around 35 today. Clouds tonight and a low of 26 degrees. Support comes from the McCoy Center for the Arts. NPR's From the Top host Christopher O'Reilly showcases talented young classical musicians from across the country. From the Top will be at the McCoy Center in New Albany on Friday, March 8th, to record the live performance for a future broadcast. Tickets at McCoyCenter.org. And support comes from the Columbus Jazz Orchestra. Tony Award-winning singer Debbie Gravatt and the CJO perform a night of classic show tunes with a jazzy twist in the program. Big Band on Broadway, Thursday, March 14th through Sunday the 17th at the Southern Theater. Details and tickets at jazzartsgroup.org. All Sides continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. This hour, we have an open forum. We welcome your calls or your emails. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. It is so simple to post on Facebook as well. You can go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, like us or friend us or whatever it is you do, and leave us a message. An email from Patrick in Upper Arlington. He says, I have heard a lot of talk about economic disparity and finding ways to increase our tax revenue both on the state and federal level. What has not been discussed is the most glaring resolution to our economic woes. Nationally recognized religions have become the largest corporations in this country and throughout the world. They do not pay any taxes whatsoever and rake in billions of dollars every year. If we want to be in the black, we need to begin taxing the church. I find it incredibly unfair that I have to pay nearly 30% of my paycheck to the government, and the four churches within half a mile of me pay 0%. I don't know. That's the end of Patrick's email that I see. I don't know if they're the largest corporations or not. Food for thought. What do you think out there? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mike and Powell, you're on the air. Welcome.
Well, the Catholic Church does own the most land in the
Yes, we do know that, yeah.
But I had two other points I was hoping to hit.
Sure.
And first of all, I was going to respond to one of the last callers about the high-speed rail, which wasn't. And if that's the only way for us to get our money back, for them to partially fund something that is not going to do what it's supposed to do, and then we're going to be on the line for it for 30 more years, then keep the money. But the reason I wanted to call is about the whole sequester thing. And I got an example or an analogy about how I look at the sequester, if you want
okay.
to hear it.
Yeah.
All right. So my wife and I, we decide that we're going to have a monthly budget. We're going to make the numbers real easy. That we're going to have our monthly budget at $1,000 a month. Okay. But we can't afford $1,000 a month, so we're going to borrow $300 per month so that we can live, you know, our life of $1,000 a month budget. Now, someone comes up and says, "Hey, you guys got to cut back. And it's going to be drastic. It's going to kill you." And they call it a sequester, and they throw it in our budget, and they're taking $23 away from our monthly budget.
Okay.
And that is the sequester in a easy to spell out nutshell.
Described within the confines of a household budget.
Well, why is the federal government any different than a household budget? They don't even have a budget. I mean, they don't. They haven't had a budget since Obama's been president.
That's happened before. I mean, this isn't the first time that's been the case.
No, you're right.
I guess I didn't know whether you meant philosophically they don't have a budget because they, you know, can keep spending anyways, or what's a budget? You know, it's something to break, or it's something to stay within, you know? That's the question, right?
Well,
staying within your budget.
If the federal government has $1,000 a month, and they're already borrowing $300 of that $1,000, and they just have to cut $22 per month, mm-hmm. I mean, just put it over the big, I mean, no one knows what $1 trillion is.
Right.
Much less 16, 17, 18. Where the heck we're at.
Well, that's why people don't seem to be getting too upset about it, no matter how much they fret and fuss in Washington. It's just too large and enormous to imagine. Let's just get it over with. It looks like that's what we're doing. We're just going to do it.
We just decided, Kerry yesterday said we're going to give Egypt $250 million. Oh, that's $250 million. Where'd that come from?
Mm-hmm. Do you think the sequester, do you like the idea that it's across the board?
I don't mind the way the sequester is. I think mm-hmm. it should be evenly metered out. And I think Obama took a duck on Friday when they said, "Hey, look, you can like allocate where this goes." And he didn't take that, in my opinion, because he doesn't want to have to pin anything on himself. I mean, he can't say, "This is okay, I'm going to put money here that I need to cut," because mm-hmm. he doesn't want to hear it. It's just going to be all Republicans, and then his horrible, the numbers from February are going to come out. They're not going to be good again, and it's going to be all blamed on the sequester.
Well, that's an interesting point. What are they going to blame on the sequester, and how are we going to know what ripple effects are the sequester or what would have happened anyways with the economy or something else out there. It's an interesting question. How are we going to define that going forward? So,
well, when you got, you know, your transportation rail hood out there saying that air travel is going to become gridlocked because of the sequester. Well, there's plenty of people in the transportation department that don't do anything. I'm not saying don't do anything, but that are less important than maybe
air traffic
control. Control tower.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's ways to skim the money, but it doesn't. You don't have to slap the citizens across the face and say, "Well, see what happens."
Well, so far
it's like a school system taking the busing away every time they don't get their levies. I mean, it's put their lips out. They say no more busing.
No, they say no more sports.
Well, they say no busing, no sports, and they inconvenience the heck out of the parents. And then they finally get their money, and then it's like, oh, shit, we're broke again.
Well, I don't know about you, Mike, but the cost of living keeps going up for me.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so things. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it does go up. I want, you know, you always want to be earning more money, but pardon me. I want to get to a few more calls, but I am really glad you called.
Hey, get back to it. Bye.
Take care, Mike. Bye bye. 614-292-8513. And Robert in Columbus, you want to respond to the caller about the sequester?
Yes, Sam, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, I wanted to talk about the analogy that you just brought up about a household budget.
Yeah.
So my concern with doing it that way, I mean, I like that he did that, because the way the sequester is applied, it's chopping a certain percentage across the board.
Okay. Yes. Okay, go on.
So if a household did that, then you take pay just a little bit less on your electricity bills, they cut off your electricity. You pay just a little bit less on tuition, you don't get to take any more classes. Now, the federal budget, there's going to be programs they're cutting into that people aren't really aware of. They're going to be completely collapsing. So there's going to be...
Because they don't have the economies of scale to withstand a 10% cut.
Right. So they're not all like the Defense Department where they can just say, okay, we'll stop doing this particular program. There'll be entire things that have to shut down because of this.
Yeah. So, I think that's a really good point. Yeah, you stop paying a bill, you're going to get in trouble.
Right.
But with a household budget, you can decide, nah, we'll cut off cable for 6 months.
Sure. You can you can apply that $23 from his example to whatever you want, maybe a couple less pizzas. That's not how they're doing it on the federal level.
Okay. So, I was going to say, no, never, not the pizzas, but go ahead. I'm sorry. This is a serious subject.
Yeah. Just as an example of some of the things that are going to be on the chopping block here, there's... that'll be affecting here in Columbus, the graduate medical education. A lot of the residency programs are paid for out of the Medicare budget, and that's on the line right now that many hospitals are going to be considering whether or not to continue being able to offer these programs. This is directly affecting the projected physician shortage.
That's a ramification of the sequester going forward in a lot of ways. We've had small businesses that depend on the defense spending in Dayton. There's subcontractors that are trying to figure out, well, do I hire extra people or are they going to cancel my contract or what do I do going forward? How do I plan? How do I plan? I don't know.
Yeah.
Not me. Just the world in general. But Robert, I'm glad you responded to that right away so we could put those two together.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 614-292-8513. And another responder to Mike and Powell. This is Michael in Worthington. Hi, Michael. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, I had the exact same reaction. First of all, thank you, Ann, for putting me on.
You're welcome.
That Robert just had. I wanted Michael to respond to Mike. I wish Mike would call back and respond to us, because I'll just bring up two other points. I think it's more like cutting out where we could cut out going out to restaurants, because it's so much healthier, really, to buy your own food and cook it yourselves. You know how much salt, how much oil, and all that stuff you're going to put in it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be another across the board. And instead, we're cutting one child's medication, or part of the medication of two household members as opposed to movies or something else. And really, everyone knows that the military defense budget is bloated. And so this kind of sequestration, even though it does hit jobs, and I think we should avoid the jobs more than the acquisition of things or maybe training as if we're in time of war. I know Republicans want us to think that terrorism has made put us in a state of perpetual war. Or even let's look at something like the $600 billion Homeland Security, whereas really what we need is targeted budgets rather than such a bloated security system. Anyway, I think I would love to hear Mike call back now that his wonderful analogy, by the way, has been put.
Well, it is an interesting analogy. I think it gave us a script to start from, Michael. Thanks for your call. Douglas in Worthington agrees with the first Mike. Let's see what he has to say. Thanks again, Michael.
Yeah.
Take care. Douglas in Worthington.
Well, this is Doug.
Hi, Doug. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. I'm a PhD economist. I teach at Ohio State. I'm your neighbor as well, Ann.
Hi.
I'm just calling in complete support of Mike, although I don't believe that the cut should fall as heavily on defense as on other areas. Under this administration, spending has gone up something like 35%. The annual budget, Mike was correct, we don't have a budget, which is not a normal state of affairs. Excuse me, I just ran into the house to try to get on the air.
Sure.
So after a 35% increase in the annual budget, the bloat there is obvious. A 2.5% decline is minor relative to the total budget. It's even more minor or more negligible relative to GDP. And therefore, the cut really shouldn't hurt unless, as this administration is doing, as indicated by the release of up to 3,000 illegal aliens held in detention, unless the administration is going out of its way to make these cuts to maximize the pain resulting from these cuts.
Hmm. Okay.
The whole position of the administration is absurd on its face.
But do you think it is fair to directly compare it to a household budget? Point being made by Michael in Worthington that, yeah, it, because of the nature of the sequester, not whether you cut your budget and live within your means or not, but in this case, the 10% across the board, well, if you're forcing yourself to do a 10% across the board budget, that means you're not paying a bill. That means you're not getting meds for your kid.
It's not 10%, it's 2.5%.
2.5%, okay, 2.5%.
It's 2.5%, which people and state governments and local governments do routinely. And in light of the...
But across the board.
Never forget the 35%, I'll use your word, across the board increase. So to suggest that there's no way to cut 2.5% just doesn't pass the laugh test. And we all know this. Mm-hmm. And if we want to tease out the household analogy, we're talking about a household that has loaded up its credit card debt. As Mike pointed out, I think he said a third or 30%. Actually, it's more like 35% of spending is borrowed. And by the way, the Chinese are refusing to lend anymore to us. In fact, they're cutting their holdings of bonds. Right now, the additional spending or the borrowing is actually Treasury borrowing from the Federal Reserve Bank.
Are you including this just credit card debt, or are you talking about
okay, so
who,
let's just to pursue the analogy a little bit. It's about a household or an individual that has way, way overspent on credit card debt. Mm-hmm. And so we're telling this household, again, after a 35% increase, more or less totally supported by credit card debt, we're telling that household to cut back by 2.5%. I think even your generally left-of-center audience will agree that that can and should be done. In fact, it's only a first step. We're going to see much, much more of this. We must reform. And what's disconcerting about this president is that he'll give off gassy statements about how he believes in reform and we have to do something or have some reforms of Medicare, except, of course, he never comes across the concrete proposals which suggests that he really doesn't want to do it. I think we can safely conclude that he, well, his minions in the Congress were making clear that we don't have a spending problem. Remember those statements from a couple of weeks ago. This is a financially incontinent president, and avoiding what will certainly have to be done in terms of cutting spending by much larger percentages in the year to come, years to come.
So you're comfortable with the sequester then? You think
it's going to be?
Okay.
Although
right.
not with the defense cuts.
Okay.
And
well,
and your
you
previous
don't, wait,
caller
I mean,
talked
wait a minute,
about
you don't think they can find 2.5% too? Come on.
They've already taken cuts. It's the only part of government that has not that is not part of this 35% increase under Obama. And, you know, there's a lot of mythology as exemplified by the statement of your previous caller that our Homeland Security budget, I think that's what he called it, the Homeland Security budget is $600 billion a year. And in case he thinks that the terrorist war is just a conspiracy of the Republicans or a mislabeling about permanent war, I commend to you the examples of the attack earlier this calendar year in Algeria as well as Benghazi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you called, Doug.
Nice talking to you, Ann.
Take care. Thanks for listening, too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I'm going to try to squeeze in a real quick one. Curtis, can you tell me your story in about 30 seconds? Curtis?
Hello.
Hi, yeah. Curtis. We're in a time crunch
okay.
now, but I wanted to squeeze you in.
Yeah, just quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting excited that we did an automatic cut of, you know, a little over 2%.
Mm-hmm.
We're not living in the real world. This is the United States of Disneyland. We're not living in the real world. We're spending money we don't have. We've been doing this for years under Republicans, under Democrats. These cuts should hurt. They need to hurt a lot more than this. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to say their program, you know, can afford to be cut. You know, it's across the board. And this is not deep enough. I mean, we're not looking at debt. We can't borrow any more money from China. I mean, when do we step up and go, yeah, we admit it. We don't have the money.
So, I mean, are you comfortable with the across the board or are
totally you totally comfortable
even
the board
with the defense cuts? Because Doug in Worthington just said defense has been taking cuts for a long time.
Everybody, I mean, yeah, but I don't think it's enough. I worked for the federal government in the Defense Department. I worked in the federal government outside of that.
You think they can find places? Okay.
Everybody, and whether you can find it, it's the reality is you have to.
Okay.
This country's in trouble.
All
period.
Right. Well, on that cheery note, Curtis, glad.
I mean, it's reality.
No, I'm just
cheery.
Kidding.
I mean,
no, I don't know why I'm saying things like that today, but I appreciate your call. We're out
right.
of time now,
thank
but
you.
Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for your call. Thanks to everybody for the calls and your thoughts and your emails today. I really appreciate it. I had a good time talking with you, and thanks for listening. Thanks to the Allside staff, producer Michael DeBonis, associate producer Amy Jurovich, assistant producers Corinne Gleckler, Rachel Quimby, a production assistants Kiram Shaban, Rose Joe, and Leticia Wiggins, with video production by Rich Karsmitsky and Amber Karsmitsky. Our theme music was composed by Alan DeCenzo for WOSU. Thanks again for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News. Your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.